All right, good morning to you, and welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on this Tuesday morning. I almost called it Monday. Very strange, isn't it?
I mean, I really appreciate a shortened week.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I had to say, we were in doing another news a few minutes ago, if you were listening before the top of the hour. And Drew, I have an answer to your question from my buddy who's an EMT. Don't ever try to suck the poison out of a rattlesnake bite. This is what he's telling me, okay? He didn't go into great detail on this, but it's not a funny story. A little girl got bitten by a rattlesnake in Arizona. They had to rush her to the emergency room. She had to have like 30 vials of anti-venom or something
crazy, right?
And Drew asked the question, aren't you supposed to suck the poison out of the, like in the, I've seen movies where they like cut an X on the spot and then they try to suck the venom out and spit it out.
Yeah.
My buddy says, don't do that. So, just so you know.
Did he say why? Or?
No. He just said, I spent most of my youth on the reservation out west. Do not ever try to suck venom out of a rattlesnake bite.
Wouldn't that hurt you?
I don't know. I was always told you had to make sure you didn't have like any open wounds in your mouth or like a something like that. That's not medical. I have no idea why. He just said, don't do it. Don't do it, Drew, if you're out there hunting or camping and you get bitten by a rattlesnake.
This might sound like a really dumb question, but I already started asking it, so I'll just continue. the little girl in Arizona, she had like four, like where the little
fangs.
Prongs. I knew that was not right, but I couldn't think of the word. The fangs had gone into her foot. Would you just like suck out of that? Like, how would you really effectively get all the venom? Would the venom start going through your bloodstream very quickly?
It would. And in the movies, they always took a knife and they cut into the wound.
I regret ever asking the question.
Okay. I'm just saying, right? Am I right, Drew?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's what I'd seen. But apparently you're not supposed to do that. Not that most of us are ever going to experience that problem, but I'm just saying.
That's why I like living in an area where I don't see rattlesnakes. That's like the thing you have to worry about if you live in some of those areas in the United States is there a rattlesnake in my front yard?
That's a good point. You know what I'm saying? And it could happen. I mean, it's happened before for sure. Just be careful when you're out there and you won't have to encounter that little problem. I keep seeing the video of the woman where the snake crawled up through the hood of her car, and it was like you could see its head, but it was outside of the glass, and she apparently freaked out about it. I would only freak out if it was inside the
car. I told you the story I covered in Nashville where some woman had all these bags in like a shed, like yard waste bags, and she put them in her vehicle to drop them off somewhere. And these massive, massive long snakes had crawled into the bags, and then all of a sudden she's driving on the highway and these really long snakes start slithering over her feet, and she managed to pull over to the side of the road without crashing and got out of the car. Can you imagine looking down and snakes are just slithering over your feet?
That would be a story that they would tell at my wake.
This is what happened
just before Mark died. This is how that happened. A massive coronary right there in the car, for sure. As my friends make fun of me for that, I'm sure. Coming up, we're going to get to Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends, first. He always joins us on Tuesday mornings at about 7:20. We've got 2A Tuesday today, and of course, we'll get to Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America, a little later in the 8 o'clock hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that. Drew's sitting in for Ethan this morning, who's continuing. He extended his long weekend to go camping, so we'll get details from him on that tomorrow. But let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In the familiar laugh, no longer heard, the empty space at Sunday dinner, or the want of a hug or a pat on the back that will never come again. Every Gold Star family fights a battle long after the victory is won, and today we lift you up and we hold you high.
The president yesterday giving his Memorial Day address at Arlington National Cemetery.
think it's a very tangible way of remembering our veterans, those who lost their lives, everyone who served, and we need more of that.
Yeah, that was her, Hillary Clinton. Sorry to ruin your breakfast this morning, but she making some comments yesterday at a Chappaqua Memorial Day parade up in New York.
Kevin, you're the sports guy, so I want to go with you with this one first, because this rivalry between the two dates back to their time in college. The first time I learned about it, and chances are there was words before.
First of all, if you're old enough to remember the old Magic Johnson-Larry Bird rivalry, this could be great for the sport to sort of have two good teams, two great players. But I think Reese really has enmity toward this person.
Yeah, Kevin Cork there on Fox. Tell him the truth about the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese ongoing problems. Angel Reese hates Caitlin Clark, and Caitlin Clark is such a better player, there's not even a comparison.
White people have always prioritized pets over black people. Not as a joke, as policy, as culture.
All right, stop it. I don't even know where to go with this. This is a Libs of TikTok video that got released over the weekend. And there's a person, I think it's a girl, staring into the camera. She's got a nose ring, among other various accoutrements on her head, and she, I don't know. Could you tell, Drew, when you were looking at her, what her race was? She looked white to me.
I have no idea.
I don't know. She appeared to be Caucasian to me, but something got her fired up over the fact that white people care more about their pets than they care about black people. Now, what the observation I would make, separate from that, is that as a news reporter for many, many years, if there was a story involving a dog that had been abused, it would get many more clicks and views than one on, let's say, some human abuse story.
Oh, 100%.
There's no doubt about that. That is absolutely 100% the truth. But in case you're not on X, and you certainly aren't on Libs of TikTok, here was the warped point of view of this crazy lib. Listen.
Boston.
No, 14. Go to 14.
People have always prioritized pets over black people. Not as a joke, as policy, as culture, as strategy. You ever seen a white woman weep for a rescue dog, but not blink at a black child shot in the back? That's not a quirk. That's colonial memory at work. That's whiteness distributing empathy based on control. They loved the dog because it obeyed, because it didn't talk back, because it couldn't remind them of the horror behind the house. But black people? Black people were never allowed to be innocent. They were property, then threat. And the dog got more compassion than the enslaved.
What level of mental illness is that on the scale of 1 to 10? Is that an 8?
Probably.
8 or maybe a 9?
Newsflash to her, like you said, people tend to care more about animals dying, not only in real life, but movies. Like, if the horse dies, people are a lot sadder about that in a movie than if the actual person riding the horse is killed.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like that?
No, I think you're right. Drew,
Marley and Me, that's
something.
A really sad story when the dog dies.
Sure.
Spoiler for anyone who hasn't seen Marley and Me, the dog dies.
I was just going to say, The Revenant, though. You see The Revenant with Leo DiCaprio?
Sure.
And the horse scene?
Yes.
That one, they didn't care as much, but
no, yeah. or the bear. Did you care about the bear? I mean, the poor bear died. I mean, come on.
I mean, animals can
after it mauled him.
Like you hear about, I'm just giving an example. There was a story out of the Metro East last week, I think it was, where two pit bulls attacked a man who was in his 60s, I think, and the son-in-law, and the man died.
Yes.
I'll guarantee you that people threw a fit when those dogs, I'm assuming the dogs were taken to animal control, and I would hope they'd be put down.
Yeah, me too.
But even if the dogs kill somebody, a human, they're still thinking that that's not fair that the dog be put down.
We've got a network star waiting on the phone. We got to get to a commercial break so we can get to the one and only Todd Pyro coming up.
It is Mr. Todd Pyro, the host of Fox and Friends First.
You don't know that.
Well, Todd, this is your opportunity to come clean if you are.
You do not know that. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. So far, I believe it's most of America has helped these guys.
People have been charged with helping. Million. Like to at least 10 people or something like that?
Can I give myself credit for making a really good point on my own show today?
Please.
Let's talk about me. Let's talk about me more, I think. I was on the phone. I was on doing an interview with a former assistant FBI director, Chris Swecker, and I was just like, the more these people get arrested for helping, or at least the more they try to help, that's breadcrumbs for the investigators trying to find these guys. Because, you know, you would assume that some of these convicts didn't necessarily have cell phones when they escaped, but let's say they got them. Well, they're communicating now with people, and you can trace those calls. And you can trace credit cards and stuff like that. So money trails. It's hysterical. This is how they're finding these folks, guaranteed.
Yeah, I've watched that story with some fascination. So if I understand it correctly, they pressured some maintenance guy into turning the water off in their cell, and then they ripped the toilet out of the wall and crawled through the hole? Is that what they think?
Yes.
Wow.
And then they, yeah, and impressive, huh?
Yeah.
Now, I will say, to your point about helping these guys, I am having a real serious problem in my house with a water filter that, for whatever reason, every time I turn it on, it sprays a lot of water. So if these guys are familiar with sort of preventing water without closing off a main valve, I could use that expertise right about now. Maybe I will help.
Everybody,
well, do you want the convicted
help.
Murderer? Because I saw one of the guys has been convicted of multiple murders.
Wow.
He might do the labor for you for cheap.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you saw me yesterday when I was very un-TV-like, very un-classic Todd-like, and I was in my underwear, which was soaking wet, so it looked like I was in reverse spring break, you know, where the ladies pour water on the dudes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And was cursing out basically everything in my house, threatening to put the house on the market, looking to kick things, but my wife was down there, so I didn't want... I take a contact. Bring him on. I'll take anybody at this point. This is the worst filter. I've had more problems with it. All I'm trying to do is keep my kids from getting cancer. Filter the water out. But no, every time I put this freaking filter... It is ruining my day. As you might be able to tell, you're getting a real authentic reaction. I am so angry right now. If anybody has the GE water filter and can give me advice in there in St. Louis as to how to keep it from leaking, I'm all ears.
Have you hired the Maytag repairman? Shouldn't you be bringing somebody
close.
Over like that?
I'm close to somebody. I think it's broken, and I don't think it can be fixed. I think I have to get a completely different system. But I'm not going with this one. GE, you've let me down.
I have to tell you, Todd, I know you guys probably covered this morning. I've watched it a dozen times now, and that is the French president getting smacked in the face by his wife right before he walks off this airplane. At first, I thought, no, she's just messing around. But when you look at it again in slow motion, that is not a gentle push to the face.
It was very intentional, it looked like.
They ain't playing. They is not playing. So can I use a joke that I didn't get a chance to use on air because the moment wasn't quite right?
Go ahead.
May I? I'm asking for permission.
No, you have my permission.
Okay, so we did a story on sharks, shark sightings, sharks getting ready. And my question was, is at the end of the newscast, so you figure we've had a couple segments in which to get the Macron story in, which we did. My question was, last question. Is it true that what you are supposed to do if you find yourself face-to-face with a shark and can't swim away is punch it in the face, you know, much like Emmanuel Macron's wife?
It's funny because when he does it, she punches him. Like, they pull the door open to the aircraft. He's standing there. All of a sudden, you see this hand with a red sleeve come out of nowhere and smack him in the face. He turns around and realizes he was on camera, and he kind of shakes his head and waves, and then he moves back toward her. At the,
what were
like,
they
out
fighting
the
about? You know, Candace Owens has gone off and trying to say that the wife is really a guy.
I know.
Yeah, I don't want to go there. I feel like...
Not sure I believe that.
She obviously posed her version of evidence. It may be true, it may not be. Far be it from me to opine on that, but I can opine on... You know, Emmanuel Macron being married to George Foreman, apparently, the late George Foreman, God rest his soul.
With a good right hook. At the very least. Yeah. How was your holiday?
Fight.
How was your holiday weekend?
It was fine.
Minus the filter.
I feel that ruined yesterday. Yeah, I feel like you people that have kids out of the house, you love to ask, how was your weekend? People love, how was your weekend? Have a good weekend? I was like, I have a 4 and a 3-year-old. You've lived through this. You know what my weekend's like. I don't have, it's not going to be like, oh, Mark, the fun that we had. Like, my wife and I were drinking martinis and we were out till all hours of the, no. You know exactly what my life is now for the next 10 years. And I'm not complaining. I love it. I love every aspect of it. But don't sit there on your fancy radio mic and, you know, get out there. Oh, what did you do? I can't wait to tell you that I went to the lake and I stared out at nothingness for 3 straight days. And now I'm back refreshed. I'm cranky. And this was before the leak heard around the world.
I don't hear any crankiness in your voice, Todd.
You start, you're plotting the day. What can we do to fill these hours and entertain the children before we can get them down for a nap or bed?
Yeah, but is then that, you, is that you what missed, you're talking about? Isn't this weird, Todd, where sometimes you just want that time with your spouse or you just want to relax, and so you get the your kid to bed and then you kind of miss him and you find yourself talking about him or looking at pictures of him?
All day you're just like, these kids are driving me up a wall. And you know what usually happens? Like, especially then when you're like, go to bed and it's been 13 seconds, you'll be like, I miss Pookie and Ray Ray. Or like today, the Monday after, I had a bunch of things cancel on me just today. And instead of leaving later and like taking time at work to get things done, I'm like, I'm going to go home. We have a sick kid. I want to be with her, you know? And it's just, that's being a parent. I have a golden opportunity to foist this all upon my wife and make her deal with the difficulty of having a sick kid at home. But no, I'm going to go home, and it's not because I want to be a good spouse. It's because I want to hang out with this person who basically has ruined every other day. It's like, I think something else is going to be different this time. I know it's not instinctively, but I love it. I can't get enough. I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't want to go there. That's not right. I shouldn't have said that. But, you know, I love being around her, even though she, you know, she's tough.
it is tough sometimes. That's for sure. Hey, I know you guys probably covered this morning. I'm fascinated by this Noah's Ark story.
No, we didn't.
You didn't cover it?
Have you
didn't
heard
cover
about
that
it?
Story?
No.
So on Mount Ararat, like in the 70s, they discovered this shape up on the side of the mountain that they thought was about the size and shape of Noah's Ark, but the government would never let them go up and investigate it. And finally, okay, they've gone up with ground-penetrating radar, and this in Turkey, and they've taken soil samples, and it matches the exact length and width and everything of what the shape of Noah's Ark would have been.
And even the soil, like the
soil
pH
has
level
potassium in it,
yeah,
which they think would be decaying from decaying wood because
yeah,
it's above the tree line. So it's
that's awesome.
It's pretty exciting stuff. I can't wait to find out more details on it.
That is a great pitch, and I'm just going to sit here and say, I got nothing.
Sounds
like a great story. I look forward to the people who know more about it to opine on it. In fact, will not.
I hope you get some more rest, Todd. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
I literally heard somebody close their door in our hallway during this segment, so that lets you know. Anyway, have a great week, St.
All right.
Louis.
See you, buddy. Todd. All right. Take care. Appreciate that. Actually, I saw this story on the Fox website, which is why I assumed improperly that Todd might have covered it this morning on Fox and Friends First. But I love that story. I can't wait to find out more details on it. And the fact that it's the shape and size of what that ark would have been is fascinating. And why they haven't investigated it before now, I have no idea. But that's pretty cool. It's a boat-shaped object on the top of Mount Ararat. That's awesome. All right, coming up, we're going to get to 2A Tuesday, and then Kim on a whim at about 7:45. Stay tuned. All right, time for 2A Tuesday, and we have got Dr. John Allott with us this morning, who is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and crimeresearch.org is the website. Dr. Allott, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You sent out a news release on some research you guys had done on armed civilians and the maybe underreported role they play sometimes in stopping crimes and active shooter situations.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, the FBI puts out every year what they call active shooting report, which active shootings are guns that are fired in public, not part of some other type of crime like a robbery or a gang fight over drug turf, anything from one person being shot at and missed all the way up to a mass public shooting. And there really hasn't been any academic research to kind of do a deep dive into who's stopping these attacks disproportionately and how successful they are in stopping them. And so we decided to go and look at this. And I think what it shows overall is what an incredibly difficult job uniformed police officers have. If you have somebody in uniform, and I don't think people appreciate the difficulties that they face, and somebody is going to do, an active shooting attack, they can either wait for the officer to leave the area or they can move on to another target themselves. Or if they're going to insist on attacking in that place, who do you think they're going to take out first? The one person that they know for sure has a gun, and that is the police officer who's in uniform there. And civilians who have concealed carry permits, it's much more difficult for these attackers to identify who they are before they start their attack. And so what we find is that when you have civilians stopping these attacks at a higher rate than you have police officers, and they're more successful in the sense that police officers who are involved in stopping these attacks are seven times more likely to be killed than the civilians are.
Wow.
They're more likely to be wounded. It's kind of like, one way of thinking about this is we have air marshals on planes. Would anybody want an air marshal to be in uniform?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Because if you happen to have a terrorist on the plane, who would they go and take out first? Because then they know they'd have free rein there to go after other people on the plane, or at least freer rein.
Yeah.
And so... go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say we talk all the time about concealed carry and constitutional carry and having the importance of having a good guy with a gun somewhere near you. And I love the fact that this research just backs that up. We just had a debate in the legislature here in Missouri because we've got this insane rule that you can have a concealed carry license, but you can't conceal carry on the local metro trains when you're riding on the train, right, where they've had a crime problem because the criminals know it's a no gun zone, so they go on and they commit criminal acts against people, but you have no ability to protect yourself.
I mean, if you look at something like mass public shootings, where these murderers have diaries or manifestos that they've left behind, it's amazing, but time after time they explicitly explain why they picked the targets that they did. And these mass murderers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. Their goal is to get media coverage, and they know if they go to a place where their victims aren't able to go and defend themselves, they're going to be more successful in killing more people. And so whether it's the Nashville school shooter or the Buffalo grocery store shooter or others, I mean, there's literally dozens of these cases. And the thing I have to say, one of my biggest pet peeves, and it just drives me completely nuts, is the media's refusal to go and cover that portion of their diaries or manifestos. You would think it would be newsworthy.
Yes.
You think why these individuals pick the targets that they do would be something that people want to know about, and you would think the media would cover it, but yet the media refuses. You know, even like the Nashville school shooter, even though the day of the attack, the police chief had looked through her diary and seen that she had considered going after the Greenfield Mall that was there, but the Greenfield Mall in Nashville had allowed people to carry permitted concealed handguns. So she decided not to go and attack that venue. She had picked the school precisely because she didn't think anybody would be there in order to stop her from doing the attack. And so, and as I say, you just see this time after time, but you look in vain. Like, even though the police chief mentioned that in his remarks, there's like no, absolutely no media coverage on his statement with regard to that.
And it took him years to release it. We're talking to Dr. John Lott, Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center.
What's so odd to me, and you think about it in context of schools, where a lot of these venues, schools, might pay a lot of money to have security guards there, but then they're not allowed to even actually carry a gun.
Yeah.
They have what, pepper spray at the very most?
Right.
You're bringing a knife to a gun. You can't match a shoot. If a person comes in armed with a gun, you can't match them.
Right. Well, one of the disagreements I have with some conservatives is that they want to put an armed uniform police officer in the schools. And, you know, my advice is if you're not going to let the teachers or staff carry and you're going to have a police officer there, please don't put the officer in uniform. Wow. Have them blend in, make them the PE coach or make them a staff person there so that the attackers there can't identify who it is that they have to worry about who might be able to go and stop them.
Well, it's a point I really hadn't considered. Dr. Lott, crimeresearch.org is the website. We appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Dr. John Lott there. That's an interesting take on it. I am in support of more armed officers in schools, whether they're in uniform or not. Some good guy with a gun, which would have prevented the shooting at the Gateway Performing Arts Center. Mm-hmm. The guy ran to the window, saw the guy with the gun. He was unarmed. He had to go the other way, tried to alert people, but imagine if he could have engaged that idiot at the door.
I get his point, and he does make an interesting point where if you see the officer, you're going to try to go after that person to knock him out, so then you kind of can just do whatever you want to do versus not knowing who's armed. But I guess I think about, okay, well, if you're arming the teachers, you could, as a potential shooter, you could think, well, 10 people might be armed in that building, and I don't know where they are. But if they're in the classroom, what good are they going to do if their main responsibility I'm not saying don't arm the teachers. I'm just saying if they're the only ones who are armed and you're not allowing the officer to have a gun, then the teacher's first priority is to protect the students they're in charge of. So they're going to, during a lockdown, lock the kids in the classroom and hide. They're not going to be the ones likely running out there trying to get this person taken out.
Yeah, it's a good debate to have in these school districts for sure. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. What are we talking about?
Been 5 years now, just over 5 years since George Floyd's death. And wow, people have a lot of feelings about it. What have we learned from this? Where are we now as a country? And I have to play a clip from you, something the WNBA did to, let's just say, honor the anniversary.
We're back right after this.
Kim on a Whim.
Question. When do you think the WNBA is going to finally learn its lesson to stop getting political? It's ruining the game for so many people. The NBA got political in many ways. The NFL got political. And a lot of people said, enough. I'm not going to tolerate this.
And they stopped watching.
And then, of course, they try to do damage control. You're better off just trying to be neutral as possible. I get that that's difficult these days, but I'm telling you, companies like Target and all these other ones that have gone woke and then swung the pendulum the other way, and then you've made those people mad, it's a lose-lose situation. Well, this is what happened over the weekend. There was a Minnesota game where they were hosting the Connecticut Sun, and one of the Minnesota players, this Minnesota forward, grabs the microphone mid-court trying to address the crowd because it was the anniversary of George Floyd's death. Listen.
Thank you guys for taking a minute to honor the life of George Floyd. George was a father, a brother, and a son. And his life, like every life, held meaning. His death exposed the holes that are still in our justice and criminal institutions today. And his 5-year anniversary reminds us that we must continue the fight against criminal, racial, and social injustices.
And drug overdoses. But did they mention that? So she stopped in the middle of the game to do that?
No. This was apparently, I believe this was before, but they also had, according to social media posts, they were saying that they also had a moment of silence before tip-off. Why is this still a thing? I
don't know, but it's rampant. And you know, here's the problem. The WNBA has got another problem. This whole Caitlin Clark issue with Angel Reese,
yeah.
And it's very clear that these two have disliked each other since college, and you can't help but to think that race isn't part of it.
Do you think it's that Caitlin Clark didn't like Angel Reese, or you think Angel Reese was insanely jealous of Caitlin Clark's success and national/international attention, and then made it about this whole race thing, and then Caitlin just was trying to defend herself?
I do. I think the bigger problem is on Reese's part. She felt like she didn't get her due because all of the TV attention, all of the ratings were driven around this white female basketball player, and she somehow felt that took something away from her. You know, famously, LSU beat them in that game that she played in, and she went up and gave her the L for a loss in her face and showed her ring and this other stuff. And Angel Reese's team happened to be better than Caitlin Clark that day. Clark still scored a lot more points and had a much better game. And she's done in the WNBA. She's still breaking records 5 or 6 games into her second year in the WNBA that nobody's come close to breaking yet. Mm-hmm. Why that league will not wake up out of this fog it seems to be in about the race issue and realize the WNBA is being treated now unlike it's ever been treated because of the attention Caitlin Clark's game has brought. Mm-hmm. The Fever games sell out. People travel to see them. They get to fly, on nice private planes now instead of commercial like they used to have to fly. All because of Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese needs to shut the hell up and take her money and be happy. But she can't.
What was interesting about the clip that we played for you when that Minnesota player was making that little speech, you heard a lot of cheers. I didn't hear any boos, and maybe the few people who wanted to boo were too scared to do it.
Probably.
But it's like the crowd that is attracted to go to watch those games, maybe they're the ones who were also in agreement of, oh, yes, we need to have this moment of silence. We need to make sure we're talking about how George Floyd was a father and, you know, this great, great person. He was a brother and a son.
Well, it is sad that George Floyd died.
It is sad.
Had he
absolutely
not had that interaction with the police that day, would he have died? I don't know. He had a long criminal record. He had drug addiction problems. He apparently was having trouble breathing before that interaction with the police officer. But nevertheless, the officer's been found guilty of his death, and people have chosen to make more out of it than it is. And you're going to keep hearing about it.
That's
for people
problem.
That want to stir the racial pot.
People feel like maybe some conservatives feel this way, but I'll speak for myself. It's not that I don't care about George Floyd's life. It's just that you're not telling the whole story. If you're going to say one side of the things, like he's a father and a brother and all da da da, you need to also mention the fact that he served 8 jail terms and he had fentanyl in his system and meth,
lots
of stuff.
Going
so
on. Yeah, not a role model,
right?
By any stretch of the imagination. Coming up, we will get to Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America, at about 8:35. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.